Avraham. Got there. One of someone is Margaret Storoff, who has given many theorem, here in Israel and throughout. I absolutely, I have nothing to introduce her every, so I'm just going to where we start.
Okay, so good evening, everybody, and a guten Morgen. And it's such a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that everybody is here and has spent their evening learning. The whole idea of Hoshana Rabbah is a very Kabbalistic idea, and maybe some of what it represents we don't fully understand or appreciate. However, what we certainly do appreciate is the fact that anybody who spends their time coming to learn Torah at any time of the year is always Tavo Aleichem Bracha. Something that I really wanted to discuss this evening is what I find a extremely relevant and important topic that may not get the attention that it deserves, but is something that definitely should be discussed every year before Simchas Torah. And the reason why I say that is because Simchas Torah obviously is the great day of celebration where we have an opportunity to celebrate our commitment and our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with His Torah. And what I find very ironic about Simchas Torah is that we find in many communities, probably not in any of your communities, but if you could imagine in other communities, that Simchas Torah is probably the day that perhaps more than any other, we as a community violate classical halachos that we otherwise are very careful about, and suddenly on Simchas Torah we totally ignore it. So I'll just give a few examples, but we're all well aware of them. So if you look around, how many people eat before davening, right? On a Shabbos, regular Shabbos, we wouldn't eat before davening. Regular day, we all know the Gemara says, Lo sochlu al adam, you're not allowed to eat before your mispalel. And yet all of a sudden comes Simchas Torah, and everybody forgot about that. We think about people who eat without making Kiddush. Right? We all know every Shabbos and Yom Tov you have to make Kiddush. Kiddush is the matir. Kiddush is what allows us to eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and suddenly it comes Simchas Torah, and it's a long davening, and it's a long day, and the hakafos, and people don't think about it. Obviously, nobody's maliciously doing anything, but they're neglecting so many of the principles and so many of the halachos and ideas that we all know are fundamental to observing Shabbos and Yom Tov. One of the main things that I always think about, obviously in this shul it's not relevant because we are a dry shul, Baruch Hashem, as we are supposed to be. However, many shuls are not dry shuls, unfortunately. And that leads to many other issues throughout the year. But one of the things that you have to think about is that on Simchas Torah, many people drink, and unfortunately they get drunk. And the halacha is very clear that a shikur is asur lehispalel. You're not allowed to daven when you're drunk. So people get up to daven, and it's something they would never do any other day of the year, right? They would never get up to daven if they were drunk any other day of the year. All of a sudden, Simchas Torah, they're so excited, and they don't realize and they neglect. So these are just some of the things that we should think about. People talking during davening, talking during laning, everybody's lightheaded. It's not a day to be lightheaded. It's a day where we should be focusing on our commitment and how precious the Torah is to all of us and how much we need to pay attention. So one of the things that often is overlooked is not only with regard to all the different things that we've spoken about, but also a major question that we need to consider is about standing and sitting when the Sifrei Torah are out of the Aron Kodesh. And this is a very, very important question because I believe it's relevant to all of us. We all attend the shul and we come. I have to tell you, actually, my first year here, 7 years ago, my first year that I was here on Simchas Torah, I decided I'm going to daven early. Remember, we were in there. I decided I was going to daven early. I made a rookie mistake. Remember that? And I davened early, and I'm like, I'm going to finish up Shacharis, and then I'm going to go home and get my kids, help my wife out. I'll be back 2 hours later, and I'll pick up with everybody else. Fine. Perfect plan. I davened Shacharis here. I stayed for the quick hakafas by the Hashkama. And then I went home to help my wife get the kids ready. My plan was I'm going to come back, finish up the hakafas, listen to the laning, daven musaf. I come to shul, they're in the middle of hakafas, everyone's dancing, I'm joining them, everything, my kids are dancing around, it's a great time. Comes the end of hakafas, we started laning, comes the end of laning, I'm the last man standing. I'm the only one in shul. I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, I guess everybody goes out for kiddush, then they come back. I did not know that the minhag here is that they daven shacharis, then they go straight to musaf, and they do hakafas and laning afterward. I had no idea. So my first year here on Simchas Torah, I daven musaf b'yechidus, because there was nobody else to daven, and I was totally beside myself. So again, I'm just as guilty as everybody else. Wherever you're going to be for Simchas Torah, you have to think about it. But even that's a little bit interesting. Again, I understand why the shul does it. We have a very big shul. To get everybody to come and daven musaf after hakafas, it's not going to be so simple. But even that, so strange. Would we ever do Kriyas HaTorah on a Shabbos morning after davening? It's not a regular thing to do. So again, we have to think very carefully when we plan a Simchas Torah. Are we doing things kahalacha? Are we doing things the way they're supposed to be done? Or perhaps is there room for some improvement? And again, ironically, on the day when we're celebrating our commitment to Torah, that should be the day when we're most scrupulous, when we're most careful about all the rules and regulations that we are bound by, that the Torah expects of us. So the question of sitting or standing when we take the Sifrei Torah out for the Hakafas is a very important one, and especially because very often the Hakafas go on for an extended period of time. And it's a strange expectation to have, forgetting about those who have trouble standing or those who have trouble walking or those who are elderly, whatever it might be. Even those who have a lot of energy, at a certain point, it gets very exhausting and you need to take a little break. So what do we do about this? So the story really begins with the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. And this is a question that is posed by the Gemara itself. And the Gemara asks in Maseches Kiddushin, Ibaya Lahu, we have a question. Ma'u lamun b'pnei Sefer Torah? Must we stand up in the presence of a Sefer Torah? That's a great question. It's actually the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers, I'll tell you. Kal v'chomer, of course you have to stand up. What's the Kal v'chomer? Anybody know? What's the Kal v'chomer? How do you know you have to stand up in the presence of a Sefer Torah? So the Gemara answers very simply. We have a pasuk in Chumash that says, Mipnei seva takum, which means you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Mipnei lomdeha. If you're going to stand up for the one who learns the Torah, that obviously means that the Torah infused him with some higher level of Kedusha, and that's why we stand up for him. But you're not going to stand up for the Torah itself? Of course you need to stand up for the Torah itself. If the Torah expects me to stand up for the Talmud Chacham, then certainly I need to stand up for the Torah itself. Question? So the Gemara Maka, so whose Kasha is that? It's such a good question. It's the Ran and the Meiri and the Maharsha and all the Rishonim and all the Acharonim and the Aruch Laner. Everybody asks the same question. But we're not going to get into it now. It's a very good question. That the Gemara Makos goes in the opposite direction. Maybe we'll get to it at the end. I think it's a very good question. But it is a question that is discussed by many, many of the Gedolei Rishonim and Achronim, that the Gemara Makos goes from the other end and says, how do we know that you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham? The Gemara says, because you have to stand up for the Torah itself. If you stand up for the Torah, so then obviously you have to stand up for the Talmud Chacham. Isn't that circular logic? Which one came first? So that's a very good question. Thank you for paying attention. I don't know if anyone else here is listening, but I know that one person is listening, and I appreciate that. So that is what the Gemara says. Either way, the Gemara tells us we have an obligation, whether it's learned from the Talmud Chacham or it's learned from the Sefer Torah, whichever way you learn it, we have an obligation to stand up in the presence of a Sefer Torah. In fact, there's an unfortunate but very fascinating question that is posed by the Tzitz Eliezer. Anybody here knows who the Tzitz Eliezer was? How many years ago did he live? Not the Madrichim. I'm asking any of the high school members who are here. Do you know how many years ago that Tzitz Eliezer lived? Like 500 years ago? What? Mid-1900s. Very good. He passed away very recently. What? Rebelezer Waldenberg. Wow. Are you related to him? I'm very impressed. Okay. So the Tzitz Eliezer was a very significant Torah personality, a very great posik in the last generation. He wrote many, many, many volumes of tshuvas and many interesting shilas in there. A lot of his questions that he deals with are relevant to medical issues because he was the posik for Shaar Tzedek Hospital. So he was faced with a lot of the questions that came up in a Jewish hospital, which are very complicated today. And one of the questions that he deals with is the following. He doesn't identify exactly who it was, but the story that he's referring to is that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was once in a shul and he was holding the Sefer Torah and unfortunately he tripped. And he fell down, and the Sefer Torah fell down as well. And the shaila that broke out in the shul was, it's a strange thing to be fighting about, but the shaila that broke out in the shul is, who do we pick up first? Do we first pick up Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, or do we first pick up the Sefer Torah? So it's an amusing question. I would imagine the scene in that shul. Everybody's fighting, don't pick up him. Meanwhile, Reb Shlomo Zalman's laying there on the floor. Pick the man up! We'll deal with the fight later. But yet, he was on the floor, the Sefer Torah was on the floor, the question became, what's more important? What's more chashuv? The Talmud Chacham or the Sefer Torah? And that again highlights a lot of what you're getting at. The Gemara Makos comes from one angle, the Gemara Kiddushin comes from a different angle. Either way, we have an obligation to be Mechabed Talmidei Chachamim. We have a separate obligation that the Gemara talks about, which is to be Mechabed the Sefer Torah itself. And part of the way that we show kavod to the Sefer Torah is by standing in the presence of a Sefer Torah. There is a machlokes whether this is even a Din D'Oraisa. do we say that midaraisa, I have an obligation to stand up in the presence of a Sefer Torah? That's how far we would take it. Ah, you'll point to a pasuk in Chumash, you won't find it, but the Gemara here says it's a Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer is one of the midos ha'Torah nedrashes b'hem, which means that it becomes potentially a din daraisa, and that in fact is the opinion of some of the Achronim. So much so that Noda Behuda even writes in a tshuva that maybe we should say even a pasul Sefer Torah, right? We all seen in shuls you have a pasul Sefer Torah with a gartel wrapped around it. We don't read from it, and yet on Simchas Torah we take it out. Why do we take it out? It's a pasul Sefer Torah. Noda Behuda says because it still has kedusha. Ah, there's a couple of mistakes here, a couple of words missing, a couple of letters are rubbed out. Yeah, that's true, but it still has kedusha Sefer Torah for all intents and purposes. And the Noda Behuda writes, maybe we have an obligation when the Gemara says you have to stand in the presence of a Sefer Torah. It means you have to show kavod, not only to a kusher or Sefer Torah that we lain from, but even a pasul Sefer Torah. Now that doesn't mean there's two types of pasul Sefer Torah. There's a Sefer Torah that used to be kusher that some letters got rubbed out. That's a pasul Sefer Torah that still is kedusha. There's a Sefer Torah that was written by an apikoros or an Ovid Avodah Zarah. That is a pasul Sefer Torah that has no kedusha at all. Right? That's not a Sefer Torah at all, because that wasn't written l'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. Be it as it may, the Gemara clearly tells us we have an obligation to stand in the presence of a Sefer Torah. And the Rambam then limits and qualifies this halacha and says that it doesn't apply as broadly as you would have thought. The Gemara doesn't say any limitation. The Gemara says in the presence of a Sefer Torah you have to stand. Listen to the words of the Rambam, and this is quoted the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya. The Rambam says, Haroa Sefer Torah kishuhu mahalech. The Rambam says, when you see a Sefer Torah that is in motion, that is being relocated, again, from the Aron Kodesh to the Bima, or after this Kriyas HaTorah, you're taking it back. If the Sefer Torah is in motion, the Rambam says, Chayiv Lamod Lefanav. The Rambam says, you have to stand up until the Sefer Torah is stationary. That's what the Rambam writes, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. That while the Sefer Torah is in motion, you have to stand up. Once it is stationary, you're allowed to then once again be seated. So, the Shaar HaTzion, which is written, that's the footnotes on the bottom of the Mishneh Berurah, the Shaar HaTzion writes, so what happens, Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, we lay in Kriyas HaTorah. Then the Gabbai takes the Sefer Torah in his hands, and he makes a Kelmale. Anybody who has yard sight comes up to the Bima, make a Kelmale, we hold the Sefer Torah. Do I have to stand when the Chazan is holding the Sefer Torah during the Kelmale, writes the Shaar HaTzion? No, because the Rambam says it's only while the Sefer Torah is in motion. But over there, even though the Sefer Torah is standing up, it's not in motion. It's in one place. It's stationary. And because of that, it would not be subject to this rule that the Rambam writes of standing up for a Sefer Torah. What about when we're in the middle of laning? Do we have an obligation to stand in the middle of laning? So this is discussed in Shulchan Aruch, not in Yerodeya, in Hilchas Sefer Torah, but it's discussed in Siman Kuf Mem Vav in Aruch Chaim, which is where the Shulchan Aruch talks about Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. And there it's very clear in the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch that we don't have an obligation to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. The Ramah says, if you want to be Mahadir, if you want to show respect, and you want to show extra enthusiasm and extra appreciation for how much the Torah means to you, you can stand during Kriyas HaTorah. But by the very nature of the Kriyas HaTorah that we're doing, you don't have an obligation to stand. Why? Because again, we go back to this principle, that when the Sefer Torah is stationary, we don't have an obligation to stand. The only time we have that chiyuv is when the Sefer Torah is in motion and it's being relocated from one place to another. So that is the basic halacha. The Rashba then discusses, what about, let's say, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So we all know there are certain slichos that we open up the Aron Kodesh for. Why do we open up the Aron Kodesh for certain things? Those are considered to be more important parts, or aniyah ve'amira, when we're having responsive slichos, that's what we do. But either way, we know that there are certain times during the davening that we open the Aron Kodesh. Avinu Malkeinu, we open the Aron Kodesh. Do I have to stand up when the Aron Kodesh is open? That's a question that's posed by the Rashba. And the Rashba wonders, well, on the one hand, Sefer Torah is now being exposed, so it would make sense that when I'm in the presence of a Sefer Torah, I should stand up. On the other hand, the Rashba then says, let's go back to the original concept. When the Rambam qualifies where the halacha applies and where it doesn't, he says, only when the Sefer Torah is in motion. And therefore the Rashba says, you can say that there's an obligation to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open. The Sefer Torah is not in motion, it's staying in its place. And therefore the halacha l'maisa really is in Shulchan Aruch that we don't have an obligation to stand up when the Aron Kodesh is open. Of course, all of us do, because we want to show extra respect, and it's nice to stand up in the presence of an exposed Sefer Torah, but we don't have an absolute obligation. I always love it when there's somebody who comes to a shul, they're not familiar when they open, when they close, and then when he's supposed to stand, when he's supposed to sit. And you always have somebody who's that person who needs to point everything out in a very disrespectful manner to that one who doesn't really know what's going on. And he goes over and he starts making a whole tumult and, oh, stand up, sit down, and banging on the shtender, banging on the benches. Me'ikar ad-din, the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't have to stand up when the Aron Kodesh is being opened. Leave the man alone. We all know, Me'ikar ad-din, there's halacha, you're not allowed to embarrass another person. So he's sitting down when he's supposed to be standing because the rest of the tzibur is standing. Again, we all stand up because we show extra respect to a Sefer Torah, but we don't have an obligation to do so. Anyway, that is the basic halacha, which leads to our fundamental question. We don't have a lot of time here. My father always says when he's asked to give a half-hour shiur, he always quotes the Gemara, Chatzi shiur asam ha-Torah. So really, we should be talking for an hour and a half. There's a lot to talk about here. And Kedusha Sefer Torah and Kavod Sefer Torah is a very, very rich topic in sugya and halacha, but I know that our time is limited, and I know that the next part of the program is far more exciting than what I'm doing. So I just want to give you a little bit of the Rashi Prakim, the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, so you know some history. When did the Aruch HaShulchan live? 1800s. He passed away in 1908. Who was the Aruch HaShulchan?
Epstein.
What?
Epstein.
My father always makes fun how, you know, there are people who like, have a false sense of self. You just reminded me of the story. But he says they have a false sense of self and they think they're on, like, a first-name basis with everybody. So even like a very famous rabbi, they'd be like, oh, you know, they meet them in the street, first name basis. But sometimes he says they show off their amaratzos. So my father always says how there's somebody who was giving a shiur and he was there. And this rabbi was saying, oh yeah, I'm on a first name basis with this one and that one. I'm very close with this rabbi and that one, whatever. He says, I was once in a conversation with the tzitz. And we had this discussion. He was referring to the tzitz Eliezer. He's like, yeah, we're on first name basis. I was talking to the tzitz and we were discussing this. So you call him Epstein. You know, you're on a, like, you know, a first name basis with Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein. He was one of the great Gedolim of Lithuania. Before the Mishneh Berurah was printed, the Aruch HaShulchan is what many, many, many of the communities in Lithuania followed. And even subsequent to the Mishneh Berurah, we follow many, many of the Pesachim of the Aruch HaShulchan. It's a very important sefer in Halacha. And he raises the following question. That question is, what is the story with Hakafos on Simchas Torah? We just learned very clearly that the Rambam writes, whenever the Sefer Torah is in motion, we have an obligation to be standing. We're not allowed to sit down. Well, if that's the case, ask the Aruch HaShulchan, how is it that we find in every single shul that people are sitting down? And he writes, La'anias daiti, de'be'esh shemesavivim im ha-Sefer Torah saviv ha-bima, when we're going around with the Sifrei Torah by the Hakafos on Simchas Torah, michu yavim lamod. We have an obligation to be standing. Duzeu kamo Sefer Torah she'overas, aval ben sivav le'sivav. He says, if you're in between the hakafos, and now, let's say at the beginning of each hakafa, you have five people in the front of shul holding the Sefer Torah and just standing there, then he says, that's the time to take a break. Sit down then, because the Sefer Torah is not moving, the Sefer Torah is standing in its place. That's the time to sit down. But while the Sefer Torah are in motion, you don't have a right to sit down. The Aruch HaShulchan leaves it like that. And he says, I don't see any reason why it should be permissible. The problem with that is, although based on the letter of the law, you read the Gemara, you read the Sugyas, you read the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, very clear that the Aruch HaShulchan is right. It's very clear also that you go to every shul in the world and people are not doing that. So we have to be miyashev de minhag ha'olam. Again, sometimes we have a concept that people do things and they don't know what they're doing. That's true once in a while. But we have to give some kind of explanation. What is it? There are great Talmidei Chachamim who we've caught sitting during Hakafa. So what's the story? How do you explain it? So this is a very complicated issue. There's a tremendous Chiddush that's written in the Tshuvas Mincha Shlomo. That is the Tshuva Sefer of... Well, finally. Okay. Tshuva Sefer of... Anybody? Mincha Shlomo. I'll give you a hint. He was alive at the same time as the Tzitz Eliezer. He was one of the greatest Gedolim in the world of his generation. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, very good. So the name of his Sefer gives it away. Mincha Shlomo, it was the gift that Hagon of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach gave to the world. It's an amazing tshuva Sefer. And the Mincha Shlomo, he also wonders, how is it that we sit during the Hakafas? And he has a tremendous Chiddush, and he says, well, maybe you should say that the whole halacha that the Rambam writes is You're only not allowed to be seated when the Sefer Torah is displaced, when it's not in its proper place. So the proper place is supposed to be either in the Aron Kodesh or on the Bima. If it's anywhere other than those two places, you have to stand up, right? Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, maybe on Simchas Torah, the place of the Sefer Torah is around the whole shul. So it's not like the Sefer Torah is out of its place. It's exactly where it's supposed to be. Sefer Torah is supposed to be in motion the whole day of Simchas Torah, everybody celebrating, and therefore would not be disrespectful to sit down. He explains the only reason why we're supposed to stand up in the presence of the Sefer Torah when it's in motion is because you should worry about the fact that the Sefer Torah is not where it's supposed to be. But once it is where it's supposed to be, I no longer have to worry. So sit down. Don't be so concerned, right? Your grandparent walks into the room. Everybody gets nervous. Are they going to make it to the chair? Everybody's standing up. Everybody's making sure everything's fine. Once they're seated, everybody settles down. Why? It's not just out of respect to the person. It's because you're concerned. Are they going to get to where they need to be? Is it going to be done properly? Are they going to get there healthily? Is it going to be okay? Are they going to trip? So he says the same thing about the Sefer Torah. And therefore he says on Simchas Torah, where this is its makom, it's not in a place where it's not supposed to be. It is exactly where it is supposed to be on that day. Right, so Shlomo Zalman, maybe that's the reason why we allow it. That's a whopper of a chiddush, really, something to think about. But it's a tremendous chiddush and something that not everybody accepts. So what are some of the other reasons why we might have a right to be mekel when we sit during the hakafos? So it's brought down in the name of the Chazon Ish and in the name of his brother-in-law, who was the Stipler, right? So the Stipler Gaon from Bnei Brak was a brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish from Bnei Brak. They were in contact all the time. They were very, very close, and two of the great gedolim of the last generation. So they both had the same chiddush, and that was, if you are a person that feels you need to sit down in the middle of hakafos, you should hold the Sefer Torah when you're sitting down. So if I'm holding a Sefer Torah, I'm no less than all the people that are dancing around with the Sefer Torah. So that was his Eitzah. Now that works if you're the Chazon Ish. Right? If you're the Chazon Ish, you can tap somebody on the shoulder and say, okay, I need to take a seat. I'm getting exhausted. Can I hold your Sefer Torah? I'm going to take a seat for a few minutes. What about if you're just a simple me in the shul? I'm going to tap on someone's shoulder and say, can you give me the Sefer Torah? They'll say, no, it's my turn. I have a hakafa. I'm holding on to the Sefer Torah. I'm going to give it to the next guy, not to you. You had a hakafa already. So what are we going to do? Anybody who wants to take a seat in the middle of hakafas is going to tap somebody else on the shoulder, ask them to hold. So it's interesting. They say that the Chazon Ish used to do this every year. He would hold the Sefer Torah while he was sitting down, and that's why he held it with mutter. Somebody saw the Chazon Ish sitting in the corner with the Sefer Torah, so he came over. He said, oh, it's a great opportunity. The Chazon Ish is all by himself in the corner, sitting with the Sefer Torah. Nobody's talking to him. So he ran over to him. He said, can I talk in learning? Chazon Ish said, sure. Guy pulls up a chair. He sits down. He starts talking to him. He says, no, but you have no heter to sit down. I'm happy to talk to you in learning, but the only reason why I'm sitting down is because I'm holding a Sefer Torah. But you, there is no heter at all. So again, it's a very nice idea, but it's still lacking a little bit. It's still unsatisfactory because it's not so practical for most people that are davening in the shul, that every time they want to sit down and take a little break, they're going to have to go and borrow a Sefer Torah from somebody who has it in order to allow themselves to sit down. That's not such an easy thing to pull off. So Reb Shlomo Zalman has another Eitzah, another idea, which is not quoted in the Mincha Shlomo. He has it in the Shmira Shabbos Kelchasa. He quotes in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Who wrote the Shmira Shabbos Kelchasa? Wow. What? Reb Neuwirth. Yeah, Reb Neuwirth wrote the Shmira Shabbos Kelchasa. He was a Talmud Muvak of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He actually survived the Holocaust. Anyone knows the story why he wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa? It's an amazing story. He survived the war. I think he was hidden in a basement somewhere for the years of the Holocaust. I don't think he was in the camps. And during that time, the only sefer that they had in that house was a Masechah Shabbos. So he was learning Masechah Shabbos the whole time for a couple of years. And he promised himself that if he gets out, he's going to write the sefer on Masechah Shabbos, on Hilchah Shabbos, that is going to be the authoritative sefer that every Jewish home in the world is going to have to use in order to keep Shabbos. And that is exactly what the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa is. There are many Svarim subsequently that came out that tried to copy him. But the authoritative sefer for the last 50 years, for sure, of Jewish observance of Shabbos has been the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa. And he was a very close Talmud of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he writes the following suggestion in the name of his Rebbe. And he says, perhaps the way to take care of this is if you have a mechitza around the Sefer Torah as it's being carried. So what does that mean? mechitza around the Sefer Torah. So he says, yeah, if you make a mechitza around the Sefer Torah, then it's like it's in a separate rishus. If it's in its own rishus, then the same way, when I have a Sefer Torah that's displaced in this room, somebody sitting in the next room doesn't have to stand up. They're not even here. We're in totally different rishuyas. We're in different rooms. If somebody's outside and they see through the window that a Sefer Torah is being moved around, they don't have to stand up. They're not in their same room. So too says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you make a mechitza around the Sefer Torah, there's no reason to stand up. What does that mean? How do you make a mechitza around the Sefer Torah? You ever saw such a thing? You have the people dancing with the Sefer Torah and then you have mechitzas around them? There's no such thing. Oh, so here we have an opportunity to talk about something that you'll probably, many, many people in their lives will never learn. So I'll just use this as an opportunity to learn it. On Hashanah Rabbah night, it should be a schus for all of us that we're going to learn an area of halacha and hilchos Shabbos that many people in this room may never open in the Mishnah Berurah at all. It's in Chelek Dalet. Anybody even know what Chelek Dalet is about? Right? Chelek Aleph and Mishnah Berurah, most of us have seen. It's about Kriya Shema and Tefillah and Hashkamas HaBoker and Brachos, all these things. Then Chelek Beis, we have a little bit about Shchodesh and about Mincha, other things like that, Berachos HaMazon. Chelek Gimel is all about Shabbos. Chelek Hay is about Hilchos Pesach, Yantif. Chelek Vav is also Purim, Chanukah, different Yom Tov, different things. So what's Chelek Dalet? What? Hilchos Erevin, right? So how many people know Hilchos Erevin? It's one thing. Even if you know something about Hilchos Erevin, how many people actually go and study Chelek Dalet of Mishnah Berurah, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about all of the intricacies of Erev Chatzeros and Erev Tchumen and how the Erev is supposed to be made and how you do it, when you do it, where you don't do it, what a mechitza is, what a mechitza is not. Very complicated issue, so I'm just going to use this opportunity to give a very, very short synopsis of one halachan Shulchan Aruch there in Hilchos Erevin that is very, very irrelevant for most of the year. But this is what Shlomo Zalman is talking about. So number one, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara that when I have an Erev, when I have a mechitza actually, right? What's the point of making an Erev? I'm not allowed to do Hotzah on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to carry outside on Shabbos. How do I allow, when am I allowed to carry? If there's a place that's enclosed, if it's a Rishus. If it's an enclosed Rishus, then I'm allowed to carry, right? If I have a backyard and the whole thing is enclosed with a fence, that's the greatest Erev of the world. You don't need a string around that. That's a much better Erev. So what is the string all about? Where does that come from? What's the string for? So the string is really meant as an imaginary mechitza. So I have one pole on this side, one pole on the other side, a string in between. That's considered like I have a doorpost here, a doorpost there, and I have a wall in between, or a mechitza there. And it's as if, imaginary lines, it's as if the whole thing is enclosed. The point of having a mechitza, of having an Erev, is to make a mechitza. Right? That's what the point is really about. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, when I have a mechitza, do I have to have every single spot in the space filled in? No. So I would be able to put up a pole here, a pole next to it, a pole next to it. Keep putting a bunch of different sticks and poles next to each other. And you can have that going the whole way around. And now it would be considered a sufficient mechitza. How could it be? But the wall is not enclosed. You would never have a house that's built that way. So the Shulchan Aruch introduces us to the din of lavud, which means that as long as they're within three tefachim to each other, you have one pole, and then next to it, three tefachim, another pole, another one, it's considered as if you have a whole wall. So that's halacha number one, that it can be considered a mechitza even if you don't have everything that is filled in for the entire space that you're trying to enclose. As long as all of the different components are within three tefachim, that is sufficient. Number two, the Shulchan Aruch also writes that I would be able to make a mechitza using a bal chai. So if I had an animal and I didn't have any poles to put out in a mechitza, I could take my cow, I could put it in one of the spaces, and that would be good enough. What's the problem? Cows move. So if I put a pole up, the pole is not going to walk away on Shabbos. So I can be sure that while I'm carrying around my backyard, I'm safe because I have a mechitza. What if I put an animal there? I put the dog there. So at any moment, I'm walking around the backyard and I'm carrying. Now it turns out that the dog ran away. So now I have no mechitza. So how can I use a bal chai? How am I able to use an animal? So the Gemara tells us, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes us, that the reason why you're allowed to do it is if you tie the animal up, and therefore it's assured that it's not going to move, that is when you're allowed to use a bal chai. This way we are sure that it's not going to run away in the middle. What about using a person? What about using a person? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about this, and you read this halacha and you say to yourself, seriously, when does this ever come up? You can have people being used as a mechitza. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about a case. Let's say there's somebody who drops something in the middle of the street and they need to pick it up. But there's no mechitza there. So they're going to gather 10 people around and say, look, everybody stand in a circle and I'll just pick this up and we'll keep walking and everybody will keep moving and every step I take, everyone's going to surround me and that will be a mechitza. So theoretically, you could have such a thing. Technically, you can't really do it. The Shulchan Aruch explains why. Shlomo Zalman puts all this together and he says, well, maybe that's the reason why we don't have to stand for our kafas and simchas Torah. Why? Because if you look in Hilchas Eirvin, Chelik Dalet in the Mishnah Brura that nobody learns, and you look and you try to figure out what are the Hilchas Mechitza that are considered a viable Mechitza, it seems there in Shulchan Aruch that it says, if you have, theoretically, people standing around in a circle, again, you have to follow a bunch of rules, but if you have people standing around in a circle, you would be able to consider that a mechitza, as long as you don't have more than 3 tefachim in between each other. So social distancing is going to make it harder. But in the olden days, we used to have people who would stand in a circle, and they would all be contiguous to each other. They would all be touching each other. In that way, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I have a great idea. Make sure all the Sifrei Torah are in the middle of the circle, and make sure you have a circle around the Sifrei Torah. That is the mechitza. Ah, you're going to say the mechitza is moving. So what? The Shulchan Aruch talks about people being used as mechitzas on Shabbos for Hutzah. So why shouldn't it be able to be a mechitza for this? So he says, that's the way out. You have to make sure that around the Sefer Torah, you always have a circle of people that are going to be surrounding the Sefer Torah. And this way, that serves as a mechitza. Once it's a mechitza, it's as if I'm outside of the building. I'm in another room. And the same way, if I'm looking in from the window and I see in the shul they're holding a Sefer Torah, I don't have to stand up. I'm in a different reshus. So too over here, he says, I wouldn't have to stand up because I'm literally in a different reshus. And there's nothing to be concerned about. Fascinating application that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach makes. Again, you have to know Kala Torah Kula to make such an application. You have to know Hilchas Eirvin in the first place, Hilchas Mechitza, to know that this is even an Eitzah. The problem with that is, it's not so Lamaisa either. How many shuls do you know that they actually have the Sifrei Torah in the middle and at all times make sure to have people standing around it as a Mechitza and that it's never broken? I don't know. It's hard to imagine such a thing. But again, all of this is just Reb Shlomo Zalman, another great achronim, trying to be miyashe minag ha'olam. You go to many, many shuls. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan says he doesn't see any heter at all. How can you sit down during hakafas? We gave a few possibilities of how it is that maybe we can circumvent the very obvious problem. Each one of them has a little bit of difficulty. It's not always so sustainable and so easy to do in every shul. But these are just some things to think about as we come closer to celebrate the great day of Simcha of Simchas Torah. I wish all of you a wonderful Yantif, and you should just always have a tremendous Simchas HaTorah. That's the greatest way to be successful in learning, is if you enjoy it and if you appreciate what it's all about. I wish all of you a really enjoyable rest of Yantif, and thank you all for coming. Thank you for putting this together.